This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
can you just refresh it?
If what happens?
If you ever see the live stream go out, can you just like refresh it?
Yeah.
And then press enter to view.
Okay. Just refresh?
Like, yeah, just press the refresh button. If it
and then
if
enter studio?
Yeah, if it goes down.
Okay. I'll...
Alhamdulillah, it looks beautiful. Alhamdulillah, I'm so happy that we got it.
I wish you told me.
I didn't know you were God. No, something beautiful. No.
Inshallah, that's the only reason.
Alhamdulillah, I'll accept. Originally, they wanted carpets that were musalla shaped.
Mm.
The religious ones. Then when they saw the Qalam campus, they changed their mind. I think this is nicer.
It's nice, I like it. I've never seen anything like it
before.
It's
very thin, though.
It is.
It's more thinner than I was hoping. I thought it would be a little bit more plush. But
alhamdulillah. You ready?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi al-mustafa. خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الانبياء وعلى اله الازكياء واصحابه الاتقياء اما بعد. Today we're starting from the chapter تكراره صلى الله عليه وسلم القول ثلاثا لتاكيد مضمونه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم at times would repeat his message. And the message would be clear, but the purpose behind repeating it was to emphasize the subject matter so the student can internalize and let it settle in what the Prophet ﷺ was saying in that. Also to let the student know how important it was what he was saying. The famous example is once a companion asked Rasulullah ﷺ for advice. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, La taghda. Faraddada miraran. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continuously repeated it, La taghda, La taghda, La taghda. Which means, do not become angry, do not become angry, do not become angry. Because how important this advice is. One simple advice can be a game changer. So similarly, when you're teaching a lesson, there are moments where you need to repeat yourself. That this particular point that I'm saying is important. So then you repeat it, and then you say it once more, and then you say it again. Yes,
Bismillah. Repeating a statement three times for emphasis. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to repeat his words in order to emphasize the subject matter and to draw attention to its importance so that the listener could understand and comprehend it fully. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah also has a chapter entitled, One Who Repeats His Speech Three Times So That It May Be Understood. Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah quotes Ibn al-Munayyir rahimahullah, who said, by including this chapter, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah refutes those who dislike statements to be repeated, those who reprimand a student for asking that something be repeated, and those who consider such a request to be a sign of stupidity.
Yeah, so there were ulama of the past who generally discouraged that a student request that something be repeated because they would say, عَدَّهُ مِنَ الْبَلَادَ. They would view it as a sign of stupidity. That why is the student asking again and again? They should understand the first time. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, he نَبَّهَ الْبُخَارِي بِهَذِهِ تَرْجُمَ عَلَى رَضِّ عَلَى مَنْ كَرِهَ إِعَادَةَ الْحَدِيثِ. He then established this hadith chapter in his book to clarify that there is nothing wrong with asking for a question, or asking for the subject matter to be clarified. And rather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself will take initiative in repeating the message multiple times. This is actually a sign of a good teacher, a sign of a good teacher is that they teach a lesson and then they probably give an example, they explain the matter again, give another example, so a little comparative analysis. And through this whole process, the student has learned that one mas'ala four times with you. It settles in. They say in Arabic that when knowledge is repeated, it settles. When knowledge is repeated, when you repeat it again and again, it settles into the mind. It takes its place. Yes.
He adds, in truth, the rule differs under different circumstances. If a student is unable to understand something the first time, there is nothing wrong in asking for it to be repeated. And there is no excuse for the teacher not to repeat it. In fact, to repeat it becomes more incumbent on him than the first time he explained it, because by commencing an explanation, one becomes obliged to repeat it if it is not understood. Bukhari narrates on the authority of Anas radiallahu anhu that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say anything, he used to repeat it three times so that it could be understood.
Yes. One time, Aisha radiallahu anha, she heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, "Man husiba udhiba." On the day of judgment, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does a thorough hisab of, full accountability, you are under audit. If that happens to anyone on the day of judgment, udhiba, they will surely be punished. They're in trouble. No one wants a full audit on the day of judgment. Man husiba udhiba. قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها فقلت أوليس يقول الله عز وجل فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسير. So Aisha رضي الله عنها, she then asked the Messenger of Allah, but doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that the hisab on the day of judgment will be easy? On one side you're saying من حسب عذب, but here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says فسوف يحاسب حسابا يسيرا, an easy counting. قالت فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما ذلك العرض ولكن من نوقش الحساب يهلك. That ayah is talking about a person's deeds being presented to Allah without a thorough investigation, thorough accountability. ذاك العرض, that is presented. Everyone's deeds will be presented to Allah Azza wa Jalla. But now from those people, there are those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up every line and every word. And every letter, every penny they spent, they will be under a thorough spotlight. People freak out when the IRS comes after them. Imagine on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from any such hisab. Yes.
Emphasizing the importance of a matter by changing one's posture and by repetition. At times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would change his sitting posture and position.
So just to clarify, in the previous narration, previous chapter, we read the riwayah Anas radiallahu anhu. And Anas radiallahu anhu says, أَنَّهُ كَانَ إِذَا تَكَلَّمَ بِكَلِمَةٍ أَعَادَهَا ثَلَاثًا حَتَّى تُفْهَمَ عَنْهُ. That at times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while speaking would repeat himself, اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, repeating himself. So the message was abundantly clear. This is possible for those who speak less and also for people who are concise and selective with their words. For those of us who just babble on and say 1,000 words per minute, good luck on repeating what you say. First of all, when you speak that much, it loses its value. When you speak few words and your words are carefully thought out and there's depth and meaning in them, repeating it actually makes some sense too. Yes, go ahead. The next chapter.
Next chapter, no hadith?
No, we'll read this one. Chapter number 25. إشعاره بالأهمية بتغيير جلسته وحاله وتكرار المقال. This is similar to the previous one, but in this case, the author is pointing out that in addition to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeating his statement for clarification, بتغيير جلسته وحاله. At times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would repeat a statement for its emphasis, he would also change his posture. He would sit up sometimes, right? Sometimes you stand up when you're conveying a message. So the person sees that there's a change in posture. Whatever is about to come next is a big deal. So, yes, go ahead.
At times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would change his sitting posture and position and then repeat what he had said in order to convey the importance and gravity of his words or warning. Imam Bukhari and Muslim narrate on the authority of Abu Baraka radiallahu anhu, who said,
Abu Bakr,
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Should I not inform you of the most serious of major sins? Should I not inform you of the most serious of major sins? Should I not inform you of the most serious of major sins?" We replied, "Indeed, O Rasulullah."
So he repeated that three times. Ala unabbi'ukum bi akbar al-kaba'ir. Three times. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Bala ya Rasulullah." Of course. Qala al-ishraku billah wa 'uquq al-walidain. Two things he pointed out. Associating any partner with Allah, disobedience to the parents. Wa kana muttaki'an fa jalasa. While Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was narrating this hadith, he was reclined. But at this point, after saying these two things, jalasa, he sat up straight. وَقَالَ أَلَا وَقَوْلُ الزُّورِ وَشَهَادَةُ الزُّورِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then started saying, أَلَا وَقَوْلُ الزُّورِ وَشَهَادَةُ الزُّورِ. The false testimony and lies, false testimonies and lies. فَمَا زَالَ يَقُولُهَا حَتَّى قُلْتُ لَا يَسْكُتُ. He kept saying it again and again, again and again, until in my mind I thought, will he not stop? It was so heavy on them, the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat, and him repeating that message again and again, lies, lies, false testimony. فَمَا زَالَ يُكَرِّرُهَا حَتَّى قُلْنَا. In the riwayah of Sahih Muslim, the Rabi, the narrator of the hadith says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept repeating his statement until we said, لَيْتَهُ سَكَتْ, that we wish he would stop. Not to hush Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but ayyadu billah. The Sahaba never had a thought like that. But it was more because they felt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in distress as he repeated again and again. Now there's a discussion here. He said, al-ishraku billah, while reclined. Uquq al-walidain, while reclined. But when it comes to qawlu zur and shahadat al-zur, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat up. The reason for this is, in order for human beings to live in peace and harmony, in order for any land to be fruitful and beneficial for human beings to reside in, there has to be some form of a system of justice. Every person needs to at least know at the back of their mind, whether they ever use that justice system or not, that it's there for me. They have to believe that. If I was on the train and someone pushed me, and I got it on camera, something could happen. Something should happen. If I was at work and someone discriminated against me, someone stole my wealth, someone cheated me, someone killed someone in my family, someone was selling drugs, someone committed a crime in front of me, can I get justice or not? The justice system, in all reality, no matter how technical or complicated it is, it relies on honesty. If people are not honest, whether it's the investigators, whether it's those that are testifying, or even the judges involved. If honesty leaves the courts, that whole system, no matter how much money you pump into it, is gonna collapse. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is teaching us that you must always speak the truth. You don't have to testify in a court case, by the way, unless there are some cases where the qadi can summon you, but in most cases, you're not required to testify. It's your choice to testify. You can say, I choose not to be involved in this case. But if you did see something, then you should speak. And in that case, when you do speak, you must speak the truth. This is the unfortunate reality of many of the countries across the world that we come from and our forefathers come from. There is no justice there. There's no way for a person to seek their right. Getting a simple passport can take an unnecessarily long time unless you agree to bribe someone along the way. When the justice system fails, and when you talk to people back home and they ask you, well, how is America, how is living in the West? And you say, it's actually quite pleasant. And they say, but it's a line of kufr. And you say, well, I've figured out how to deal with that kufr by living a life of iman and by promoting iman. But as far as raising a family goes, building a community goes, we have freedoms in our Western countries that allow us to live and practice Islam in a way where, unfortunately, in many Muslim countries, it is impossible. And that's the sad reality. That's the unfortunate, sad reality. But anyway, let's not think about governments right now. Let's talk about individuals. As individuals, we create healthy societies by speaking the truth. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال نتكي أن فجلس قال قول الزور شهادة الزور قول الزور شهادة الزور. He kept saying this again and again. Don't lie, don't lie, don't lie. Speak the truth. In the Quran, we are told to speak the truth even if it's against ourselves. كونوا قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين. That speak the truth. Let that be your guide. Your parents should know that if I ask my child a question, they will speak the truth even if it's against me. At that time, they may not appreciate it when you speak your truth, but ultimately that mother will know that this child of mine always speaks the truth. I hate it, but they always speak the truth. That's the alam, the sign, the symbol that every Muslim should have. So here we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sat up and he spoke of it openly like this. Yes, go ahead.
So there's a long discussion after. Want me to skip to the next chapter?
You can read it if you want.
Okay.
The words a false statement and a false testimony are the same in meaning. They merely explain each other and serve to emphasize the point. The reason for repeating the words a false statement and a false testimony and not the words ascribing punishment to Allah and disobedience to parents was to issue a particular warning against false testimony. This is because people commit this sin more readily and overlook its gravity, and its harms can be more disastrous. Ascribing partners to Allah is repugnant to a Muslim, and disobedience to parents is repugnant to one's nature. As for false testimony, the motives behind it are many. Giving special importance to it was therefore appropriate. Repetition of this was not to show that it is more serious than ascribing partners to Allah or disbelief. It should be borne in mind that ascribing partners to Allah and disbelief are the greatest of sins.
But rather, these are easier, and there are motives behind them. You know, a group of young guys are driving, and someone hits them, and they decide to file a whiplash case and sue the person. They're all lying. Nothing happened. No one had any whiplash. It was a small little bump. It was but everyone's testifying accordingly. They've all come up with their stories. They all have their, made up bogus doctor's note. And they're hurting another person, and rightfully. Shahadat al-Zur. They get something out of it. They might walk away with a $5,000 check each. They might walk away with some money that comes out of it, out of their petty case. But they've destroyed their akhirah. Therefore, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows you to always speak the truth. Sometimes you have a car accident. You were at fault. But you quickly start blaming the other person, hoping that they admit it. You fluster them, you catch them off guard, you overpower them, overwhelm them in that moment, and get them to testify that they did something wrong so the insurance doesn't come after you. You'd rather be held accountable. Buy your insurance and pay that premium and deal with it in the dunya than having to face the outcome of this lie in the akhirah. May Allah protect us. Yes.
False testimony is to lie when testifying in order to promote a wrong such as murder, usurping wealth, and forfeiting the rights of others. There are no major sins which are more harmful and destructive than these after ascribing partners with Allah Ta'ala. Hence, they are considered equal to ascribing partners with Allah Ta'ala. This explains why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resorted to repetition and was more angry at this crime compared to other more serious crimes such as murder and adultery. Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah said, "It is desirable to repeat an admonishment three times so that it may be fully understood. If the person giving the admonished the admonition displays his uneasiness, it will be more effectively remembered and more useful in conveying the need to abstain from the prohibition. We also learn from this hadith that a student should be concerned when he sees his teacher disturbed and uneasy. He should hope the teacher has not become angry, for his anger could cause a change in his mood. Furthermore, it teaches us that a alim should demonstrate to his students that which he wishes to inform them about. This will encourage them to focus and pay attention to what they are being told. This repetition of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his change of posture were done to direct the attention of his audience towards the seriousness of the action from which he was prohibiting them, namely false testimony. Drawing the attention of one's listener by repeatedly calling him. On certain occasions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would repeatedly call out to a person.
The first chapter was about repeating your statement. The previous chapter was about changing your posture and repeating your statement. This is itharatuhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intibah as-sami'i bitakrar an-nida. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would repeat his call to the individual multiple times. Ya Aba Dhar, Ya Aba Dhar, Ya Aba Dhar, Ya Mu'adh, Ya Mu'adh, Ya Mu'adh. The one that he was calling, he would say their name, not once, but multiple times. This was to catch the undivided attention of the one that he was speaking to. The focus here was getting the attention of the student, getting their attention. Yes.
On certain occasions, Rasulullah ﷺ would repeatedly call out to a person while delaying his response in order to emphasize the need for attentiveness, so that the person may give due importance to and try his best to understand and remember what was about to be said. Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim narrate on the authority of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, said, I was sitting behind Rasulullah ﷺ on the same donkey, and there was nothing between me and him except the wood against which a rider rests. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Mu'adh. I replied, Here I am, O Rasulullah, and I have the good fortune of obeying thee. He continued on the journey for some time and then said, O Mu'adh. I replied, Here I am, O Rasulullah, and I have the good fortune of obeying thee. He continued on the journey for some time and then said, O Mu'adh ibn Jabal. I replied, Here I am, O Rasulullah, and I have the good fortune of obeying thee.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept saying his name, and his response every time was, Labbayk, ya Rasulullah wa sa'adik. That I'm here, O Messenger of Allah, I'm here, O Messenger of Allah, O Messenger of Allah. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, هَلْ تَدْرِي مَا حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ قُلْتُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ عَلَىٰ قَالَ حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ أَنْ يَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Do you know what the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is over his servants? He said, Allah and the Messenger know best. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the right of Allah over his servants is that they worship him and do not associate any partner with him. لا يشرك به شيئا. ثم سار ساعة. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then continued traveling. ثم قال يا معاذ بن جبل قلت لبيك يا رسول الله وسعديك. O Messenger of Allah, I'm here. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then put the statement around. وهل تدري ما حق العباد على الله. And do you know what the servant is deserving from Allah in return of fulfilling Allah's right? You fulfill your right to Allah by worshiping Him. Do you know what you're going to get in return? إِذَا فَعَلُوهُ When they fulfill their responsibility. قُلْتُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ عَلَمْ He said, Allah and His Messenger, no. So to that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قَالَ حَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَلَّا يُعَذِّبَهُمْ That in return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish them. So here we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not delivering the answer right away, stretching it out, calling him again and again, pausing in between, asking this question. Every time he calls him and continues to walk, we show on Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu's side, and he was patient. He could have said, Sup? I mean, you called my name twice. What's going on? Is there something you want to say? No, that's not the other. He was called by the Prophet of Allah. He announced his presence. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say anything. He had the good fortune, the good character, and the sabr to know that it was his job just to sit there and wait for his turn to come. Students don't like waiting. They want the answer right away. You called me. Why don't you respond right away? Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu is teaching us that sometimes you just waited. So Rasulullah said it a second time. Ya Mu'adh. Labbayk ya Rasulullah wa sa'adik. Nabi sallallahu didn't say anything. Thumma sara sa'ata. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu knew that in any scenario, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calling out to him, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to say something to him. Whether he got it now or later, whenever the Prophet of Allah deemed for it to be best for him, the Prophet of Allah would tell him, and then that would be what he had to do. So he just kept himself ready and prepared. This is beautiful. He didn't push Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for an answer. And if you look at the riwayah, each time, ثُمَّ سَارَ سَعَةً, some time passed by. Some time passed by again. On the other side, I mean, again, from Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu's perspective, but from another angle, it also must have increased his excitement about what was coming. That the Prophet of Allah kept asking him, and he was probably thinking, I wonder what it is. I wonder what it is. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes Mu'adh radiallahu anhu back down to the fundamentals. What's Allah's haqq over you? You worship Him. You're loyal to Him. Never associate any partner with Him. And then a little pause. And then again, what can you now expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah yuhadibahum. That if you're loyal to Him, He will be loyal to you. It is impossible that a servant can love Allah more than Allah will love that servant back. You can never win Allah. You think you will worship Allah and Allah won't reward you for it? You're more generous than Allah. You're more sincere than Allah. You're more willing to give than Allah. Not possible. So while you're alive in this dunya, just keep depositing those checks. Keep sending off those good deeds. Every sajda, commit to it. Every act of worship, commit to it. Every majlis that you can attend, go to it. Every salah you can pray, go to it. You're just sending those checks off. You're sending them off to a bank, though, that will pay you back. It will never pay you back equal to what you give. That's against the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never give you equal to what you give. He will always multiply. There's always a multiplying factor in play. It's just there. You just need to keep giving while you can and you're healthy. Yes. The next chapter.
Grasping the hand or shoulder of the listener to draw his attention.
إِمْسَاكُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِيَدِ الْمُخَاطَبِ أَوْ مَنْكَ بِهِ لِإِثَارَةِ إِنْتِبَائِهِ. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at times when talking to people, so we talked about how he would repeat their name, call out to them. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to catch the attention of the person, at times would also hold onto their shoulder, grab onto that person's shoulder. Sometimes he would hold that person's hand. It's an interesting conversation that therapists and counselors talk about, that when you're speaking to someone, in order to add a layer of intimacy, sometimes putting your hand on that person's hand goes a long way. Wrapping your arm around that person's shoulder goes a long way. Obviously, in the confinements of Sharia and ensuring everyone's comfortable with the physical touch, putting your hand on that person's knee can go a long way. Holding them, holding on to them when speaking to them is a strong, embracing someone is strong, right? It's a physical intimate contact. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do this at times as well. Yes, go ahead.
At times Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would grasp the hand or shoulder of his listener in order to increase his attentiveness to what was being taught, so that he would focus his ears, eyes, and heart towards it, causing it to be effectively remembered. Bukhari, Imam Tirmidhi, authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, who said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held me by my shoulder and said, remain in this world as though you were a stranger or one who was crossing a path.
Akhadha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi mankibi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held me by my shoulder. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says this. Faqal, kun fi dunya ka annaka gharibun aw abir sahih. Be in this world as if you are a stranger or one just passing by. وَعُدَّ نَفْسَكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُبُورِ. And consider yourself while you are alive from the people of the grave. It's a dark thought, but it's an important one. Don't forget about your grave. Always remember it. Shaitan wants you to forget your grave. He wants you to forget about any consequences, any akhirah. Live in the moment. Forget everything else. Living in the moment is important. However, you must always remember your akhirah, where you're headed. That when you lie in your bed, you remember that there's a time that you will go to sleep and you won't wake up again. That's life. There is, Shaykh al-Fatah Abu Ghudar rahimahullah ta'ala, he quotes a statement, فَنَحْنُ كَمَا قَالَ الْقَائِلِ. Our reality is like the person once said, نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا كُلَّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ. We live and die every day. نموت ونحيا كل يوم وليلة ولا بد من يوم نموت ولا نحيا. We wake up and die every day. We live and die every day. But one day will come that we will die without coming back to life. So every few few days we hear a story that someone breathed their last. They passed away. So while we're alive, we prepare for that. Do good deeds. Every day, do a good deed that is a secret between you and Allah, and no one else in the dunya will ever know. Every day. One deed that's a secret between you and Allah, no one else in the dunya will know. وَعُدَّ نَفْسَكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُبُورِ. As you're walking, you are actually walking as a person that has passed away. But you still have life, so you can do something. Don't get too attached to the world. As the saying in Urdu is, Jagaji lagane ki dunya nahi, qudrat ki jaah tamasha nahi. That this world is not a place to connect your heart to. It's not a place. Jagaji lagane ki dunya nahi. This world is not a place to attach yourself to. Ibrat ki jaah, it is a place of reflection, of lessons. Tamasha nahi, not some sort of a joke. This isn't a circus that you're just in falling in love with every play and every act you see. This world is about ibrah, reflection. Yes.
Next chapter.
Utilizing ambiguous words in order to prompt the listener.
So based off of that statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when narrating this riwaya, he would then add his own statement. When he shared this riwaya with his students, he would then add a nasiha, an advice. وَكَانَ إِبْنُ عُمَرَ يَقُولُ إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَاءِ وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَّتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ فَإِنَّكَ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ لَا تَدْرِي مَا اسْمُكَ غَدًا. So he said to his students, when you enter into the evening, do not wait for the morning. And when you wake up in the morning, don't wait for the evening. Death can approach a person at any time. And it's very lonely. Just 1 week ago, my aunt passed away. And when her son called me to say that she's on her deathbed and they've stopped medicating, I told her that I want you to pay extra attention to your mother. This is the time when the malaika start coming. All the malaika will start coming. You'll see it on her face. You'll see it in her eyes. If you pay attention, she may even tell you about it. Because when a person's life wraps up and it's time to transition from this world to the next, the ghaib begins to open up. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a person's iman counts hatta yugharghar, until he makes the gharghara sound. This is basically the sound the human being makes as the soul struggles to exit the body. It's attached to the body. In those lonely moments, as your soul is leaving your body, you begin to wonder, now what? The human being doesn't like loneliness. Is that correct? We like to be around people, our wife, our children, our friends. And you know that they're all leaving, and you're not going to see them again for a long time. Not for a long time. So it's at that time a person's a'mal come forward, and they give that person companionship. And malaika come, and they tell this person, Salamun alaykum tibtum fadkhuluha khalidin. Be patient. We're with you. The insan is now gone. Allah has sent us. At the beginning, maybe that person's a little sad, but then I'm sure it's not too bad chilling with malaika. I'm sure that's probably fun as well. Some good conversations, some good things to learn. Who said you have to stop learning? وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَّتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ. So prepare yourself while you're healthy for the days that you will be ill in. وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ. And utilize your life before your death approaches. فَإِنَّكَ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّكَ يَا Abdullah, la tadri masmuka ghadan. I walked into this. Actually, I shouldn't say. Yeah. But innaka ya Abdullah, la tadri masmuka ghadan. He's referring to himself. Oh, Abdullah, you don't even know what your name's going to be. Will it be from those that Allah loves, or from those that Allah is angry with? Will you be a ghaddar on the day of judgment, or will you be an abd, an ama of Allah on the day of judgment?
Yes. Utilizing ambiguous words in order to prompt the listener to inquire about an issue and thereby encouraging its performance or abstention from it. At times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say something ambiguously in order to prompt the listener to inquire more about it. This would then have a greater impact upon him and would encourage him to perform the action.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say something without clarifying it. But the statement was clear enough for the message to be understood. Not kind of like leading them on some kind of a wild goose chase, not that. The message was clear, but those who were smart would want clarification on that, and to that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would let them figure it out. So now the riwayah, he shares some asma'alik radiallahu anhu. Kunna jalusan ma'a rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We were one day with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqal, the Prophet of Allah said, يَطْلُعُ الْآنَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, that a person will now enter into this gathering who is from the people of paradise. فَطَلَعَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ, a person came in. And he was an Ansari. تَنْتُفُ لِحْيَتَهُ مِنْ وَضُوئِهِ تَنْتُفُ لِحْيَتَهُ مِنْ وَضُوئِهِ وَتَفَتْحَ وَضُوئِهِ, that the water of wudu was still dropping off his beard. وَقَدْ عَلَّقَ نَعْلَيْهِ بِيَدِهِ الشِّمَالِ, he was holding on to his footwear with his left side. فَلَمَّا كَانَ الْغَدُ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ, the next day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said again that a person will now enter into the masjid who is from the people of paradise. Again, no clarification, but the message is clear. This guy is going to Jannah. Now naturally, the Sahaba are wondering why, how? How do we get that? But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not clarify. فَطَلَعَ الرَّجُلُ مِثْلَ الْمَرَّةِ الْأُولَى, same guy entered into the masjid. فَلَمَّا كَانَ الْيَوْمُ الثَّالِثِ قَالَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم مِثْلَ مُقَالَتِهِ أَيْضًا, the third day the Prophet of Allah said the same thing, that person from the people of Jannah will be entering. فَطَرَعَ ذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ عَلَى مِثْلِ حَالِهِ الْأُولَى, same person entered into the masjid, the wudu water was still dripping from his beard. Like, this guy had a routine, clearly. فَلَمَّا قَامَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم تَبِعَهُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ عَمْرٍ أَيْ تَبِعَ ذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ, so when the gathering ended on this third day, Abdullah bin Amr bin al-As radiallahu anhu followed that man. فَقَالَ, he said to him that I had a dispute with my father. فَأَحَيْتُ أَبِي فَأَخْصَمْتُ أَنِّي لَأَدْخُلُ عَلَيْهِ ثَلَاثًا, that I had a dispute with my father as a result of which I won't be seeing him for a few days. فَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ أَنْ and tu'wini ilayka hatta tamdi fa'alt, so if it's possible for you to host me during these 3 days, it would be a nice thing. He was trying to get inside his house. Qala na'am, he said sure, go on, come into my house. Qala anasun fakana abdullah yuhadithu annahu bata ma'ahu tilka thalath al-layali falam yarahu yaqumu min al-layli shay'in ghayra annahu idha ta'arra taqallaba ala firashihi dhakara Allah azza wa jalla wa kabbara hatta yaqumu li salati. So for 3 nights, Abdullah bin Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu observed this man, and he said the guy did not pray tahajjud salah. It's not like I was expecting that maybe he does some special tahajjud. Didn't even do that. Other than he would wake up at night, do a little dhikr, turn his side, go back to sleep, then wake up for fajr salah. There was a small little dhikr that I saw him do during the night. For 3 nights he was looking at him. قال عبد الله غير أني لم أسمعه يقول إلا خيرا. There was one more thing. I only heard him speak good. He never spoke foul. وَكِدْتُ أَنَا أَحْتَقِرَ عَمْلَهُ, so he said, I began to think that what's the big deal? This guy doesn't seem like he's doing anything special. Sleeping through the night, does a little dhikr, nothing too mashallah. قُلْتُ يَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ, he said to that person, Abdullah is like a generic name. Like a generic, oh Abdullah, oh servant of Allah. لم يكن بيني وبين أبي غضب ولا هجر. You know that story I said that my father and I had a dispute. There was a little bit of a stretching there. ولكن سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لك ثلاث مرات يطلع عليكم الآن رجل من أهل الجنة فطلعت أنت ثلاث مرات. He said, rather, what actually happened was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said three times that a person will enter who was from the people of paradise, and all three times you are the one who entered. فَرَدْتُ أَنْ آوِي إِلَيْكَ, so I intended to come and stay with you. فَأَنْظُرُ مَا عَمَلُكَ, so I can see what your deed was. فَأَخْتَدِي بِكَ, and I will therefore follow you and imitate you in your action and be from the people of Jannah. SubhanAllah. You know how people copy other people's business and their education and other people's investments. Say, you know, they copy which school their kids are going to and which neighborhood they're buying houses in, which dealership they buy a house, buy a car from. So he's saying that I wanted to figure out your amal so I can go to Jannah as well. فَلَمْ أَرَكَ تَعْمَلُ كَثِيرَ عَمَلٍ. So he said, it doesn't seem like you're too pious. فَلَمْ أَرَكَ تَعْمَلُ كَثِيرَ عَمَلٍ, like, your deeds are not too impressive. فَمَا الَّذِي بَلَغَ بِكَ مَا قَالَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So what is it? The Prophet of Allah spoke the truth. What is your action that has led you to this high maqam? قَالَ مَا هُوَ إِلَّا مَا رَأَيْتَ. SubhanAllah. He said, my state is not but what you saw. What you saw of me is accurate. مَا هُوَ إِلَّا مَا رَأَيْتَ. My story, my reality is what you saw. I enjoy my sleep. I have a good night. I chill. Spend time with the family. Go for walks. You know. فَلَمَّا وَلَّيْتُ دَعَانِي. Abdullah bin Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu said, well, that was the end of that. I was getting ready to leave. And as I was leaving, he called me back. فَقَالَ مَا هُوَ إِلَّا مَا رَأَيْتَ يَبْنَ أَخِي. Yes, it is true. My state is just as you saw. What you saw of me is who I am. غَيْرَ أَنِّي لَا أَجِدُ فِي نَفْسِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ غِشَّةً وَلَا أَحْسُدُ أَحَدًا عَلَى خَيْرٍ أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ إِيَّهُ. Other than the fact that I have no hatred in my heart for any Muslim. I've never hated another person. I've never had harsh feelings for another person. This includes mom, dad, brother, siblings, children, friends, in-laws, husband, cousins. لَا أَجِدُ فِي نَفْسِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ غَشًّا. I've never had hatred for another Muslim. وَلَا أَحْسُدُ أَحَدًا عَلَى خَيْرٍ أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ إِيَّهُ. And I've never been jealous of another person for what Allah gave them. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, regarding jealousy, says, a jealous person in reality doesn't have a problem with the one they're jealous of. Their actual problem is with Allah. Their problem is with Allah. They're mad that Allah gave someone else and they think they have any say in who Allah gives to and what he gives. Leave that person alone. Deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In haqiqat, in reality, fil haqiqa, a hasid has some way still to go to fully accept taqdeer. They haven't fully believed it. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنْ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. This statement of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi is very deep, and one that a person should think about in their own life. That this innocent person that I'm jealous of, ismi iskakya hai. What is this person? What's their fault? They have what they have because Allah gave it to them. And every blessing comes with accountability. Now the ball's in their court, whether they use it right or not. Allah gave someone beauty. Someone has natural beauty. You're jealous of that beauty. Now you have to realize that that beauty is a gift from Allah. Now that person has a huge responsibility. Are they going to flaunt that beauty to put other people in fitna? Or will they hide that beauty and use it for good, for their own family, to engage with people that it's halal to display their beauty in front of? It's a big question. Most people, unfortunately, squander the blessings they have rather than actually making something out of it. فقال عبد الله هذه التي بلغت بك وهي التي لا نطيق.
La ilaha illallah. Hadihi allati balaghat bik. This act of yours is what has gotten you where you are. Wa hiya allati la nutiqu. And we are incapable of doing this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. If you can't do a lot of tahajjud, if you're a little behind on your daily ma'amulat, your daily adhkar, istighfar, salawat, if you're not taking that time every day for your own dua, if you're not regular in the masjid, the bare minimum is at night before you go to sleep, try to forgive people in the world. Don't go to sleep with any hatred towards someone else. Now everyone's, oh, but what about that one person? That one person, we'll come back to that. Let's talk about the rest of the ummah. Because there might be a legitimate concern that you have with someone that actually needs to be settled on the Day of Judgment. There might be the one or two people who have done you wrong. You know, someone massacred all the Muslims in a village and your family was there. You don't have to forgive that person. You can deal with that on the Day of Judgment. But other than those few people, everyone else, all the petty disagreements you have, that person took my sandwich. That person didn't call me back. This person gave everyone da'wat and they didn't invite me. TFTI. And you're just salty and bitter about everything. You guys know TFTI? Thanks for the invite.
I just Googled it.
You just Googled it? In reality, these petty disagreements that we have, we should let them go. And it's good for your health. Don't carry stress from one day into the next day. At the end of your day, close all affairs, close all accounts, file it away, and now wake up the next morning from the beginning. It's a famous saying, probably every mother says it to her child when they get married, that don't go to sleep while being cross with your spouse. I think every culture has a similar saying, that don't go to sleep while you're arguing or fighting with your spouse. Solve all the matters before you go to sleep. Then go to bed together, wake up the next morning happy, and tackle that day. Don't take things over from one day to the next day to the next day. Salim. Yes, go ahead.
Saying something in general terms and then expounding upon it so that it may be clearer and easier to remember and understand. At times, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say something in general terms in order
to... This is what we call ijmal. No, tafsil ba'd al-ijmal. That first you mention something briefly, and then you clarify it in much detail. Tafsil ba'd al-ijmal. Ijmal means something to be brief. Tafsil is then the long explanation that follows. وروى البخاري ومسلم وابن ماجه واللفظ لمسلم عن انس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال مر بجنازة فأثني عليها خيرا. A dead person was taken past Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. So people began to praise him. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وجبت وجبت وجبت. وجبت means it's become necessary, it's become mandatory, it's binding. So they praised him. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said وجبت وجبت وجبت. That it's binding, it's binding, it's binding. By the way, this statement, wajabat, is vague. Wajabat ma wajab. What's wajib? What's binding? He didn't say what is binding. He just said, wajabat, wajabat, wajabat. Wa murra bi janazatin fa uthni alayha sharra. Then a second body was taken past Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and people began to speak evil. What a horrible person. Faqala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wajabat, wajabat, wajabat. It is now binding, it is now binding, it is now binding. فَقَالَ عُمَرَ فِدَا لَكَ أَبِي وَأُمِّي مُرَّ بِجَنَازَةٍ فَأُثْنِي عَلَيْهَا خَيْرًا فَقُلْتَ وَجَبَتْ 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 وَمُرَّ بِجَنَازَةٍ فَأُثْنِي عَلَيْهَا شَرًا فَقُلْتَ وَجَبَتْ وَجَبَتْ وَجَبَتْ. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Messenger of Allah, explain this. The first body passed by, people spoke good, and then you said the statement three times. And the second body passed by and they spoke evil and you said this three times again. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مَنْ أَثْنَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ خَيْرًا وَجَبَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ أَثْنَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ شَرًّا وَجَبَتْ لَهُ النَّارِ. أنتم شهداء الله في الأرض. أنتم شهداء الله في الأرض. أنتم شهداء الله في الأرض. Those that you praised, Jannah has now become wajib upon that person. And those that you spoke evil of, the fire of hell is now binding on that person. For you are the witnesses of Allah on the face of this earth. The whole community is speaking evil of someone, that person must have done wrong. أنتم شهداء الله في الأرض. And when a person does good, therefore the ulama, they write that when a person passes away, you should only speak good of that person. اذكروا محاسن موتاكم, as we are taught, that when a person passes away, you speak good of them. There's another riwayah, the words of it are sticking in my mind. It's similar meaning, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when a person passes away, speak good of them. And the last part of that riwayah, I can't remember the first part, but the last part is, فَإِنَّهُمْ قَدْ أَفْضَوْا إِلَى مَا قَدَّمُوا. فَإِنَّهُمْ قَدْ أَفْضَوْا إِلَى مَا قَدَّمُوا. That when a person passes away, leave all the wrong they did. Because now they have gone forth to what they've done, what they've put forward, meaning Allah will deal with them for the wrong they did. Yeah, لَا تَسُبُّ الْأَمْوَاتَ فَإِنَّهُمْ قَدْ أَفْضَوْا إِلَى مَا قَدَّمُوا. That's the riwayah. لَا تَسُبُّ الْأَمْوَاتَ فَإِنَّهُمْ قَدْ أَفْضَوْا إِلَى مَا قَدَّمُوا. Do not curse and speak evil of the dead, for they are not gone forward to what they did wrong. So if your mother hurt you, your brother hurt you, let it go. They've died, they're gone, there's no need to talk about that. Have good memories. Try to remember the good things. Make dua for them, sadaqa jariya for them, inshallah. Read some Quran for them. So the statement, أنتم شهداء الله في الأرض. Some ulama, they said that this statement was khas with those two individuals. The statement of the Prophet of Allah that it's wajib, and the people spoke on behalf of that person, they say it was regarding those two individuals because the Prophet of Allah was told by Allah that this was the outcome for those two specific people. Read, he has it in the Hajjah. Read it.
Some ulama says that the hadith means that if a virtuous or righteous people praise and speak good of a person, this is how he is in truth, then he will be amongst from the dwellers of paradise. But if this is not how he truly is, he will not be from amongst the dwellers of paradise. The converse is also true. The more correct view is to consider these words in their general sense. If a Muslim passes away and Allah Ta'ala inspires people to speak good of him, it is proof that he is amongst the dwellers of paradise, irrespective of whether his deeds demand it or not. This is because deeds are subservient to the will of Allah Ta'ala. So if Allah Ta'ala inspires people to speak good of him, we will take it as proof that Allah Ta'ala willed forgiveness for him.
Ultimately, look, what happens to a person, only Allah knows. We can never speak definitively and say a person goes to Jannah. The ulama, they say that when a person passes away, the more people gathering together for the janazah, the better. The more sufuf, better. Because this is a testimony that people in the community were happy with this individual. Okay, we'll stop here today, inshallah. And if Allah wills and gives us tawfiq in life, we'll do the next chapter, inshallah, from Ijmaluhu lil Ma'dudat thumma tafsiluhu in our next class. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.